Amen. You guys can be seated. We are so thankful that you're all here with us this morning as we celebrate, recognize our graduates. In just a moment, I will call some names from over there, so I'm out of the way. Call some names, and we will cheer for them and stuff. But first, I just wanted to say that certainly none of them would say that their last 2 years of high school ended up anything like they would have thought was going to happen. It's been very different. They've had to go back and forth from online to in person. They've had to worry about events that they've loved being canceled or being changed where they're basically unrecognizable, being different. There's so many different challenges that have been thrown their way. I've been trying my hardest to sabotage them so they can all stay in youth forever. And they've overcome all of it. They've just, it's been a grind, and they have fought through. So we are just so incredibly proud of them and their hard work that it has taken to get them to this point. So we just want to recognize them. The way this will work, I will read their name and then a little description about them, and then we'll clap. It'll get kind of crazy if we clap right after every name. So I'll read the name, a description about them, and then we can clap for them, and then we can move on to the next graduate. That way we can just fully celebrate, recognize each and every one of them, and then I'll pray for them, and we'll move on. So, yeah, let's get started. All right, up first, we have Eli Anderson, the son of Andrew and Tara Anderson. He's graduating from Founders Classical Academy of Corinth and attending North Central Texas College, then transferring to a four-year university to study business. Jack Belcher, son of Weston and Kelly Belcher, graduating from Lake Dallas High School, be attending the University of North Texas on a Dean's Academic Excellence Scholarship. He has been accepted into the Honors College and plans to study biochemistry. Grant Emery, son of James and Sonny Emery, graduating from Ryan High School, attending the University of North Texas and majoring in mechanical engineering. And unable to be here with us today in person, we have Tristan Hayden, who's the son of Jeremy and Nicole Hayden. He's graduating from Union Pines High School in Cameron, North Carolina, and plans to continue his fire and paramedic training and pursue this as a career while attending college. And then we have Brock Harris, son of Tammy Harris, graduating from Louisville High School. Brock plans to major in criminal investigation and profiling at Duke University. Jacob Kim, son of Jay and Jennifer Kim, graduating from Guyer High School. Jacob will be attending Shackles Honor College at Mississippi State University, majoring in chemical engineering. Dylan Martin, son of Scott and Jennifer Martin, graduating from Founders Classical Academy of Corinth and plans to attend Tarleton State University in Stephenville, Texas and pursue a degree in agricultural business. Montana McCormick, son of Danny and Paige McCormick, graduating from Ryan High School, plans to attend NCTC for paramedic EMT certification. He would like to be a flight medic. Drew Maurer, son of AJ and Kelly Maurer, graduating from Founders Classical Academy of Corinth, will attend the University of North Texas, majoring in sports management. Logan Peterson, son of Damian and Katie Peterson, and Amanda and Jason Hughes. Graduating from Ryan High School, Logan will be attending Texas Tech University on a full scholarship where he plans to study engineering. Zach Salter, son of Steve and Stacia Salter, graduating from Liberty Christian School, will attend NCTC to complete his basics, then transfer to a university to study design. Trevor Snow, son of David and Amy Snow, graduating from Ryan High School, will be attending Texas State University and majoring in engineering. Eli Stowers, son of Don and Tina Stowers, graduating from Guyer High School, will be playing football for Texas A&M and plans to major in finance. Garrett Watson, son of Doug and Christy Watson, graduating from Ryan High School, plans to attend Texas A&M and major in engineering. Aiden Wooldridge, son of Sam and Heather Wooldridge, graduating from Lake Dallas High School, will attend Texas A&M to study business with a major in management information systems. Kyla Dorman, daughter of Lee and Christy Dorman, graduating from Coram Deo Academy, will be attending Texas Women's University with a major in education. Madeline Dupas, daughter of Dustin and Shelley Dupas, graduating from Denton High School, Maddie plans to attend Texas A&M Corpus Christi and major in kinesiology. Isabella Earle, daughter of Guy and Christy Earle, graduating from Guyer High School, Isabella will be playing Division I basketball for Abilene Christian University and majoring in elementary education. Peyton Fowler, daughter of Ricky and Kylie Fowler, granddaughter of Tammy Harris, graduating from Crum High School, plans to continue co-managing Highlight Reel Entertainment and driving the Texas Outlaw Monster Truck at shows. Elizabeth Grace Henson, daughter of Brad and Emily Henson, graduating from Founders Classical Academy of Corinth, Ellie will be a transfer student to Texas A&M in College Station and pursue a degree in forensics. Ava Haney, daughter of Eric and Tiffany Haney, graduating from Lake Dallas High School, attending Texas Tech University, and majoring in political science with a minor in American Sign Language. She plans to attend law school. Abby Kelly, daughter of Ruben and Trista Bernal, graduating from Lake Dallas High School. Abby will be attending Liberty University to pursue a degree in medicine. She plans on being in the medical field and doing some type of ministry. Audrey Kim, daughter of Jay and Jennifer Kim, graduating from Guyer High School. Audrey will be attending the University of Arkansas and majoring in communication disorders. She hopes to become a speech therapist for children. Jessica Regnold, daughter of Jeff and Ann Berry, graduating from Fred Moore High School, wants to own a salon someday. She believes that it is important for people to feel good about themselves, and she wants to help others using her artistic talents. Savannah Robeson, daughter of Chad and Denise Robeson, graduating from Lake Dallas High School, plans to attend NCTC and major in veterinary science. Lainey Shantz, daughter of Conan and Tamara Shantz, graduating from Lake Dallas High School, will be attending the University of Texas, where she plans to pursue a degree in textiles and apparel. Abigail Shirley, daughter of Mike and Danae Shirley, graduating from Denton High School, will be attending the University of North Texas and plans to join the Mean Green Brigade. Lana Torres, daughter of Eric and Shara Torres, graduating from Guyer High School, will be playing soccer for Southwestern Oklahoma State University. She'll be majoring in business and architectural design and plans to open an architectural firm. All right, we will let all of our graduates smile and look nice and pretty for some pictures, and we'll give them one more big round of applause. All right, if you would join me, I would love to pray over our graduates. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that we can be standing here on the stage with all these amazing young men and women, God, and celebrating their hard work. God, we thank you that they fought the good fight. They finished hard, God, as they come out of this in high school. Lord, we thank you for their hard work, for their effort in that. God, we thank you for the people that you've placed in their lives, through family, through friends, through their church, God, that have walked alongside them and encouraged them and prayed for them during all of this. God, we thank you. We praise you for that. Lord, we pray that as they move on to this next step, whether it be moving away to college or staying local for college or going into the workforce, God, whatever that looks like for them, Lord, we pray that above all, they would pursue you. They would continue to pursue you with everything in their life. God, I pray that they would find good Christian community to get plugged into, to be a part of, God, that would encourage them, that would challenge them, that would stretch them, that would grow them in their faith, God. I pray that they would have people in this new phase of life that come alongside them, God, that that challenge them and push them closer to you, Lord. And above all, we pray that they would bring glory and honor to you with everything they do in this next phase of life. God, we thank you and to what these students have meant to our church. We thank you so much for what they've meant to Grace Point students, to me, and to their families. God, we love you so much and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we can all just make them feel really awkward by watching them walk off the stage. While they're doing that, and as they're making their way back to sit with their families, as I was preparing for today's message and thinking through things, I knew that I wanted to share something that could be a challenge for our graduates, that could that would be there for them. And it's really my prayer, my challenge for them moving forward into this next phase of life. However, what we're going to talk about is not exclusive to a high school graduate or not exclusive to these students that were on the stage, but it is relevant and true for all of us as believers, and that is that we are to continue to grow in our faith. So as a student ministry, our goal is to not just come alongside these students and their parents and help them to live out their faith in middle school and in high school. Now that is a huge part of it, but also we want to help build a foundation of faith built on the Word of God that they can take with them for the rest of their lives. So as they go off to college, as they start work, that they can take this foundation that was built, starting with Grace, and Grace Point students, is able to be built and will sustain them as they go on and off to college. However, it doesn't just stop right there. That pursuit of Jesus, the building of that foundation, it doesn't just stop whenever they walk off this stage or whenever they walk out of the student building for the last time or whenever they graduate this next week for most of them. It doesn't stop there. They are to continue to grow in their faith, continue to build upon that foundation, and do that during this next phase of their life. So one of the things, graduates, you and in your bag, you have a little thumb drive. Plug that in, I promise. It's plug it into your computer. There's on there, there's all kinds of different things on there, but one of them is resources. There's some resources for campus ministries, ways you can get involved and get plugged in where you are going to college. There's resources for dealing with questions you have about your faith, questions you have about the Bible, just different things on there. So make sure that you look at that, because we want to be able to provide that for you guys. So a lot of us, we often joke about how we peaked in high school, or how maybe for some of us, we peaked in middle school. But that doesn't have to be the case with our faith. It does not have to be the case with our faith. We don't have to look back and say, man, in high school or in my 30s or my 50s, man, that's when my faith was really good. Man, that's my faith is at an all-time high, and I'll never get back to that. My faith is good. Then that one thing happened, and I kind of fell away. Things got tough, and it's just really never felt like the same. It doesn't have to be like that. And maybe if we're in here and you're thinking, well, really, honestly, I've never had a real strong faith. Yeah, I've accepted Christ, but it's never really felt strong and deep. Well, it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to. We can continuously pursue Christ, and we're going to talk today, my challenge really for our graduates, but for all of us, three ways that we can continue to grow as Christians. So for our seniors, three things as you go to college, as you go to work, three things, three next steps, things that you need to continue to do and pursue Christ in these ways. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 for that. So Acts chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 42. It says this. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we see here in these verses, there's a theme. It's actually, the word is mentioned a couple of times, but the theme runs throughout this entire passage, and it's this idea of together. Together. This theme is all over that. So that takes us to takeaway number one is this. The growing Christian is connected. The growing Christian is connected. As believers, our vertical relationship with our Father, our relationship with God, is strengthened by the horizontal relationship with other believers. It's strengthened by our relationship with other followers of Christ. Acts 2 is all about this idea of growing that vertical relationship, growing our relationship with God, and it's all about doing that by being connected with other believers. It's all about doing that by being connected with other believers. It says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. 44 says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 46 says, day by day, attending the temple, together, breaking bread in their homes. They were connected. Very clearly, the church in Acts chapter 2 values being connected. They value together. They followed him together. They connected. They lived life together. They followed God together, together, together. So the growing Christian is connected. But the type of connection matters. The type of connection that we're talking about, it matters. The type of connection we see in Acts chapter 2 is a specific type. So we live in the greatest age of connectivity there has ever been through social media, with phones. It's just so easily we have access to all kinds of different people, to all of our friends, to all of our family. Many of us have friends that don't even live in the state. Some of my closest friends don't even live in the state of Texas, and I talk to them frequently, all the time, because we have just a high level of connectivity through these different avenues. You probably like me in that you have people on social media that you haven't really seen in person or talked to in years and years and years, but you feel like you know a lot about them, right? You know that yesterday their dog completely destroyed their couch. You know that they had a really awesome breakfast this morning because they posted a picture of it. And by following them, you feel connected with them, right? You know what's going on with them, so there's a level of connection, even though, man, you haven't even seen them in a long time. There was no real interaction, but you feel connected. So for some of us in here, that seems weird. I promise you, for our students, that doesn't seem weird. That's normal, having connections like that. Some of our students, that's their main connections, is through people online and like this. That's normal. But here's the catch. Here's the catch. Even though we live in such a very connected world, the latest studies would all show that at the same time, while we're more connected with one another than ever we have been before, we also feel more alone and more unknown than we ever have before. So somewhere along the way, in all of this connectivity, in all of this community, something's gone wrong. Or at least maybe something hasn't fully like clicked. There's an added element that's not there, that it's making us miss out on the fullness of what it means to be connected, on the fullness of what it means to have that type of community. So why? What is it? Well, Acts 2, I think, tells us that it's Jesus. That Jesus is the thing that's missing when it comes to those things. So here's the deal. Jesus was the center of everything going on in Acts chapter 2. This example of being connected, this example of together, it all centered around Jesus. The things they were doing together centered around Jesus. You can have community without Jesus. Lots of us have that in our life. We have people in our lives, whether it be at work or at school or wherever, where we have community with people who maybe aren't Christians at all. They're not believers. Or you have community with people who are believers, but faith really just isn't a part of your relationship. You don't really, you know that they believe and they know you believe, but it kind of stops right there. There's not really much talk about it. It doesn't really challenge you in your faith in any way. And I'm not saying those are bad things. You need to have friendships. You need to have people that you are close with, that you have fun with. But I believe that the community, the connectedness that is modeled here in Acts 2 is different than that. It's more life-giving, more fulfilling than that, in that it's centered around Jesus. It's a gospel community and not just any normal type of community. So that's what it is to be connected in a way that grows your faith. So graduates, as you go to college or as you move away or whatever that looks like for you, the growing Christian is connected. Getting connected is so, so, so important. Through campus ministries, through friends, through the local church, being connected is important. Being connected in a way that grows our faith in a community where what we have in common with people is not just that we go to the same school or not just that we work in the same place or we cheer for the same sports team, but in a gospel community, this Acts 2 community, our commonality is that all of us are sinners, we are desperately in need of a Savior, and we all believe that Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, is that Savior. That's what we have in common. That's what makes this awesome connectedness, this amazing, life-giving, fulfilling community. So Scripture doesn't call us to be connected just because it's fun to have friends. Now, graduates, friends are good, right? Have fun in college, man. This is some of the most fun years of your life. Be adventurous. Do exciting things. Do fun things. And that's a good benefit. But we're to be connected in a gospel community. We'll be connected in a gospel community so that we can live a life that is abundant in Christ. Not just for friends, but so we can experience the fullness, the abundance of Christ through that. Now, as a result, just as a side note, as a result, that impacts other people. We see that in Acts chapter 2. It says there that the Lord added to the numbers daily those that were being saved. The community they had going on, man, it impacted the world. So the community that you find in this next part of life, this community, this connectedness, it's going to impact those around you. Your family, your friends, the people that you go to school with, the people that you work with. Acts chapter 2 constantly is impacting people. Now, some of us in here are thinking, yeah, I have Christian friends, but, I mean, we're not really the same, right? We have different interests. Yeah, we both follow Jesus, but the people in my group, they all like this kind of music, and I like this kind of music. They do this kind of thing for their hobby, and I do this kind of thing. Well, guys, let me tell you, and you've heard this before, one of my just most life-giving relationships, life-giving friendships ever, is with a guy who is the complete opposite of me. Now, I don't know if you follow the Enneagram stuff or any of that. Whatever his is, it's the opposite of mine. Whatever his personality type is, it's over there, and mine is over here. The things that we like, the things that take up our hobbies, complete opposite of the spectrums. However, man, his friendship is so life-giving to me because of this. The single most important thing in my life and the single most important thing in his life are the same thing. It's Jesus. It's the same thing. So that's all we need. That's what allows me to be on a staff with some pastors that make fun of the Dallas Cowboys 24/7. We're so far apart on that, but it's okay because of Jesus. Connected through that. Now, here's the hard part. This connection, this community, it takes work and effort on our part. You're going to find that out. If I'm being honest, graduates, you're going to find that pretty quickly when you get to college. It takes effort to find that type of community. It takes effort to make that type of community and to have that connectedness. So takeaway number two is this. The growing Christian works to create community. The growing Christian works to create community. It says in verse 42 right there, it says this word devoting. I love how it starts off with that, because when we're devoting ourselves to something, we're putting forth a lot of effort, right? It's a lot of effort. We're persistent in that. That's what devotion looks like. So these people, the church in Acts, they are devoting themselves to a few things. It says to the apostles' teaching, to hearing God's word, to fellowship, to breaking bread, to prayer. And they're devoting themselves to these things together in the community. They're devoting, doing these things together. It takes effort on their part. So when we think about this idea of creating community, that's kind of a weird phrase, I know. When we think about that idea, though, of we are to be creating community, if we're looking at this, if we're looking for this type of just deeply personal and intimate and relational community, I mean, that's what a lot of us want, I would say, and I know at graduates, that's what a lot of you want. And we find ourselves in a place where, man, maybe this small group that I've joined now, or this my friend group that I've, or the dorm study, whatever it looks like, and we find ourselves in a group where we feel like it's not fulfilling those things, where I'd say, man, I feel like this is not really what I, this is not the deepness of the group that I want. Our first reaction is this, usually, to step away from that, to retreat, to kind of phase out. Now, sometimes, maybe you go somewhere else, go to a different group or something, but a lot of times, we're honest, we fade out of that thing, and then we just kind of fade out of it altogether. I mean, I've seen it so many times that oftentimes the first step away from God is a step away from God's people, especially when it comes to our high school graduates. A lot of times the first step away from God is stepping first away from God's people. Now, don't get me wrong, there's certainly times where God calls us to transition to something new that happens. But we also know from Scripture that it takes work on our end to create this type of community. If we're going to be connected like this, it takes work on our end. I mean, we see in Acts chapter 2, this is a church made up of sinful people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who are actively creating this type of community. There's so many words in here that are action words, give this idea of they were being active in doing this, actively creating this type of community. We see this in other places as well. We see in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." It says, let us consider. And that word together is in there again. It says, let us consider. I like that. So let's do it. Let's consider. So as we're thinking, how do I create community? As you're going to college, and how do I create this type of community that I want? Well, consider this. How can we spur one another on toward love and good deeds? Because that's how we do it, by encouraging, by taking interest in other people, by praying for each other, by challenging each other. We see all of that model in Acts chapter 2, all of that there. Verse 25 says, not giving up meeting together. So graduates, during this next phase of life, don't give up meeting together. If you move away, don't give up meeting together. Find a church. Get plugged in a local church, because gospel community means, man, we've got to show up. We've got to be there if we're going to have this type of community. We've got to come to church. We're going to do that. So God uses people to impact people. And I truly believe every single person in this room, all of our graduates, all of the parents, every person in this room, God wants to and can use you to impact other people. And the flip side of that is true as well. God wants to use other people in this room to impact you. Romans chapter 1, verse 12 says this. It says, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I had this awesome opportunity in college to meet this young man who was an international student from South Korea. And he moved to Arlington, Texas for college. He knew one other person in the entire country, and it was his cousin, who was like his brother to him. I saw this man get saved, accept Christ at this event. Amazing, awesome transformation that God did in this guy's life. I had the privilege of walking through a new believer's book with him. We would meet once a week and go through some stuff as he continued to grow in his faith. And one day we're talking, and I asked him, hey, how are things going? And he looks me in the face, and he's like, honestly, it hasn't been a great week. It's been kind of hard. I'm like, yeah, tell me about that. And he says, well, last month, my cousin, who's like my brother and the only family I have in the country, passed away. He said, I didn't share with you guys because, I don't know, I didn't want to bother y'all with that, and that's y'all didn't know him. So he tells me that, and then he says, well, so then I was grieving, so my grades started to slip. It was hard for me to find motivation to do work and stuff. He said, my grades started to slip. And he said, and my GPA fell just barely below the criteria for the scholarship that I was on. So I got a call yesterday. And they said, that I'm not under scholarship anymore for next semester. And he said, I can't go home. That's not even an option. I can't even afford that. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this school. And then his eyes like light up all of a sudden. And he's like, but my church that I'm a part of came up with a scholarship for $1,500, and they're going to give that to me. And he was so excited. Now, parents, you already know this. I hate to burst your bubble. That's not very much when it comes to college. College is expensive. And $1,500, when he told me that, I thought it was terrible news. I was like, oh my gosh, man, we got to figure something out. Right? This is not going to work. But he was excited. So we continued this conversation. And then I was like, hey, man, I would just love to pray for you for a little bit. Can I pray for you? And he said, yeah, sure, I'll start. I said, yeah. All right. So we bowed our heads in the cafeteria, and he starts praying for 20 minutes. 20 minutes straight, this young man prays. Not once does he mention his cousin passing away. Not once does he mention not knowing what he's going to do to pay for school. Not once does he mention not having any family around him and how he's just grieving in this time. 20 minutes, he prays a prayer of thanksgiving for that $1,500. 20 minutes, he's praying a thankful prayer. The first like 10 minutes, I was like, man, this guy is crazy. What is he doing right now? And then the last 10, I was like, I'm crazy. Why am I not so thankful like this guy is? So he prayed. And then a week later, he comes to me and he says, Nathan, I would love for the small group in our dorm, I would love if we just began to be a little bit more thankful to God. I think that we could benefit from that. Is it okay if I just say a thankful prayer to start off your study? I was like, sure, yeah, that's fine. So he does. The next time we meet, he doesn't lecture everyone. He doesn't say, hey, y'all are not thankful enough. You have so much to be thankful for. I had everything taken away. He doesn't do that. He just says, hey, guys, I just want to just remember God's faithfulness, and I want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. So he does, and it was like a domino effect. The whole rest of the study, everyone else is sharing how thankful they are and praying and thanking God for all these things. I tell you that to say that this man, he modeled Romans chapter 1, and that I was encouraged by his faith. Still am to this day. I look back at that moment, and I'm convicted. I'm challenged by that. And also, Acts 42, he was devoted to that group, right? He saw, man, I would like for this to be a more thankful group. We're giving more thanks to God for the things that we have. It would have been really easy for him to say, man, y'all don't appreciate all that you have. I'm gonna retreat. But I'm gonna back away. I'm gonna go find somewhere that I am getting that. He didn't do that. He decided, I'm going to be the example in this. I'm going to lead out. I'm going to create this community. I'm going to work hard to create this type of community that is thankful for these things. I tell our students this all the time. They're probably tired of hearing me say it, but too bad. One more time. If we want a group of friends, of believers, whatever that looks like, a friend group, a small group, we want it to be deeper. If we're saying, man, I want a community that's more real, that's more authentic. I want friendships where we talk about faith more, where Jesus is more so the center of our friendships. Be the one to start it. Be the one to do that. Be the one to take the challenge of creating community in that situation. See, part of continuing to grow as a Christian is working to create this type of community that we see. And we'll go through quickly this last one because we're running low on time. Takeaway number 3. The growing Christian fights against comparison. The growing Christian fights against comparison. Now, when we talk about comparison, first, let's say what we're not talking about. Let's explain the kind of comparison we're not talking about. So when we talk about, we're not talking about when we observe another believer, whenever we observe another follower of Christ, and we are encouraged by them, maybe convicted by them, and challenged by them. That's not what we're talking about. We should be encouraged and challenged and convicted to grow in our faith in these certain areas. We should do that. We should see a brother in Christ who has a really just authentic, vibrant, consistent prayer life. I should see that, and I should want to have that kind of prayer life. I should be striving for that. I should see a sister in Christ who speaks with such kindness that everybody feels welcomed in her presence. Well, I should see that, and I should desire to have that type of presence in my life as well. That's not the type of comparison we're talking about. We're talking about the type of comparison that, and graduates, y'all, I know you already deal with this some, but it's going to be intensified now whenever you step into this next phase of life. It's a comparison that looks at other people, looks at their successes, their accomplishments, the internships they get, the awards they get, And then it makes me now convince myself I'm less than. This person has all that, and I'm less than. That's the type of comparison that we have to fight against. Social media definitely does not help with this, right? We see all these different things on social media. We compare our worst with their best. This comparison, man, it, we have to fight that. We have to fight against the comparison that gives myself the attitude of, man, God's not giving me enough. Now, I know you would say, I would never say those words. I never even think those words. But really, we kind of do whenever we're comparing ourselves to the point where I'm feeling like I am less than. I'm just kind of ingraining in myself this attitude that says, God's not giving me enough. My friend in college, he could have easily developed that attitude of, and why did God give me this? Look at these kids who got the, why did God has not given me enough? But he didn't do that because he wasn't playing the comparison game. When we're ruled by comparison, it's hard to come by real joy. It's hard to come by that real joy because we're always obsessing over how someone else is better than us. God has given every single one of you, graduates and all of us in here, God has given to every single one of you generously and without error the gifts that you have, the talents that you have, the things you're good at, the areas you excel in. God has given those things to you generously and without error. He did not mess up. He's given to you, I would say, uniquely for the position that you're in now. For the school that you're going to, God's given you your skill set, your abilities. He's given those to you uniquely for that position. He's done that. We don't win when we play the comparison game. We don't win. We should celebrate the successes of others. We should be encouraged by the faith of others. But don't let that take away from you being content with who you are in Christ. You being content with the things that God has gifted you in, the areas that God has gifted you in. Because again, God has given to you uniquely without error for the place that you are in. In the church in Acts, this community that we've talked about, this connectedness, it's made up of all kinds of different people. It's made up of these sinful people being led by the Holy Spirit and these people that God prepared uniquely to make that community thrive. And for us, man, God has created each of you and prepared each of you uniquely so that together we can be connected and create this beautiful gospel community that we've been talking about. So being different, having different skill sets than your neighbor, having different abilities and talents, that matters. That's intentional. God's created us that way so that that community can be created, so that we can do that. So we'll wind down with this. We never stop growing in our faith. This is not just, now this is my challenge for you guys to continue as you go into college in this next phase, but guess what? It's still the challenge whenever you graduate college. It's still the challenge whenever you enter the next milestone of life, is to always be growing in our faith. Now, this can be intimidating. When you say, what do you mean, create community, be the one to step out. Man, I'm kind of, I like to more of just kind of be laid back in the shadows. This is a big task. But let me encourage you with this. We're not doing it alone. We're not asked to do it alone. In Acts chapter 2, not only did they have each other, so not only are we walking through this together, they had the Holy Spirit that was guiding them through all of this, that was making all of this stuff thrive. And guess what? You have that same Holy Spirit. You have that same Holy Spirit that is leading you in this. It's true for us that he guides you as you take on this big task in your next step of life. You're not doing it alone. You're not doing it alone. So as you seek to be connected, and as you work to create community, as you fight against comparison, you're doing that with the power of the Holy Spirit. They're walking through it with you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this day. God, we thank you so much for these graduates. We thank you that we were able to celebrate them, rightfully so. God, I thank you again just for the people you placed in their lives that have gotten them to this place. Lord, I pray that this challenge of continuing to grow in our faith, God, that it not just be true for our graduates, but also for all of us in this room, Lord, that we would continuously pursue you, God. I pray that we would do that together, that we would seek to be connected, Lord. I pray that we would begin to help work and create that type of community, God. We can lead out by example, God. We can use the skills, the abilities that you have blessed us with to do that, God. And I pray that we would fight against comparison, God, that we would not play the comparison game, that we would not find ourselves feeling like we're less than, God, but that we would understand that we are uniquely and beautifully made and created by you. God, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.